Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we are focusing on our nation today. I'm asking the question, what is best for the USA? These are the things I want to cover in the sermon today. So why this new brochure called What is Best for the USA? Well, first of all, the idea here is to bless our nation. Second, to bless us, our children, our grandchildren, and all loyal Americans. Third, this brochure is intended to identify sin. And fourth, to call everyone to repentance. That is best for every sinner, to be called to repentance. Now, we're not just saying, oh, those sinners out there, they need to repent. No, us sinners in here, we need to repent as well. I'm going to get into some basic facts here and then some important Bible passages, and then I'll come to some conclusions that I think are important as well. So first of all, coming to some basic facts regarding creation, let's understand that God created the entire world. God brought everything good into existence. How do we know that? From the Bible. God made it so clear. And then when we think about nations, let's understand the Bible is teaching that God established every nation that exists, every nation that did exist and no longer exists. That's because God brought it to an end. And even us here as the United States of America, we exist today because God has established us and God is continuing to sustain us. It's all the work of God. It's all to the glory of God. All that is good that is going on. Of course, all the evil, that's not the fault of God. That's the fault of us and our sin. And then I want to mention about this very important topic of blessing and curse. So going here to Deuteronomy chapter 11, notice what it says. Really, it's the Lord speaking to the people through Moses. He says to them, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you. So it's a very simple, basic, straightforward thing. What can we say about it? What happened to ancient Israel? For a while, they were listening to the Almighty God. What did he do? He blessed them so much. What happened after a while? They turned away from the Almighty God. What did he do? Then he cursed them. So God said he would do it with ancient Israel, just as he said he did it. What about us here in the United States of America? Well, before 1945, we were a nation that more honored God, and we were blessed. If you think about virtually all wars that we were engaged in, from the Revolutionary War through World War II, God's hand of blessing was upon us, and we are winning, winning, winning every war. Was that because of our greatness? No, that was because of the greatness and the blessing of the Almighty God. What has happened since 1945? Well, we've been engaged in a number of wars. And basically, with every one, we are losing, losing, losing. Why is that? It's such a simple thing, because after World War II, we began to turn away from the Almighty God in significant ways, and we have been doing so more and more and more since that time. We might not even see it, but if only we could know where we were there at World War II, and if we could just take a step right into 2024, we would be so shocked and overwhelmed. But what has happened, though? It has been like inch by inch by inch by inch by inch, and a lot of times we don't even notice it. But we have gone so far away from listening to the Almighty God. Actually, it's amazing that we are blessed as much as we are today, considering all the ways that we have turned away from or even against the Almighty God. Well, I believe we have a great opportunity. So as American citizens, we have the right to vote. Now, even though all candidates are sinners, every single one of them are sinners, just like you and I are sinners. However, though, I think it's a good idea that we would be registered voters, that we would study the candidates. Don't go into the voting booth and flip a coin. Study the candidates, have a list, know what you're doing in advance, and then what can we do? We're always voting for what the lesser of two evils. Let's vote for the person or for the people that are most in line with God's word. Why would I say that? If we vote for those who are opposing God, that brings more of the curse of God upon our nation. If we vote for those that are more in line with God, that can bring the blessing of God upon our nation. Does that make sense? I think it's really a simple premise that I think not only does the Bible say it, we saw it with ancient Israel, we see it now with the United States of America. So it's important that we are lined up with the Almighty God. I want to look here at five different kind of hot button issues within the world, within our nation today. But with every one of them, I want to show you what the Bible says. I want to show you where God is standing. I want to encourage us to stand with God. And for anyone who is not standing with God, we want to love them and we want to call them to repent. We want to say, hey, stop opposing God. We want you to repent. We want you to have forgiveness through Jesus. So first of all, I want to come to the topic of law enforcement. Consider here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, it says, because a sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. You can see what it's saying, can't you? If you have a criminal and he is not punished quickly for his crime, his friends, who are also criminals, when they see that their friend is not being punished, they are emboldened to commit even more crime. Is that what we have going on in our nation today in many respects? Let me share this brief video with you. It's a news report coming out of San Francisco, I think from a couple years ago, but it's still common in our nation today.
All right, another brazen theft at a San Francisco drugstore caught on video. It comes after the governor and local officials pledged to crack down on crime that has forced so many stores to close down. Our crime reporter Henry Lee joins us now live. He's at SFPD headquarters with the latest. Henry.
Yeah, it's been happening over and over, Julie. Thieves thinking they can steal things with impunity, thinking they will never get caught. This is an issue that brought a candidate for governor to San Francisco today.
It's happened again. Four women run off after stealing from a CVS pharmacy at Van Ness and Jackson in San Francisco, this time just before 6 Monday night. It's the latest grab-and-go crime in San Francisco that's forced many drugstores in the city to close. The man who took this video tells me he feels sorry for the workers who have lost their jobs or have had their hours reduced because of what he called out-of-control shoplifting. Organized retail theft has become such a hot-button issue that it's now a point of focus in the upcoming gubernatorial recall election. Former San Diego Mayor Kevin Falconer spoke outside the shuttered Walgreens at Larkin and Bush in San Francisco, blasting the governor.
A governor who has supported the lessening of laws when it comes to stealing items under $950, lowering those consequences.
When they see these things go viral, the perception of lawlessness, the perception that anything goes, really, that has to be overcome too.
I think with what the police officer is saying at the end, it's fitting in right with the verse I shared with you. So when people see that you can commit crime and there really is no penalty, all that's doing is encouraging others to commit more crime. What do we need? We need proper laws, we need proper policing, and we need a criminal justice system that properly and quickly punishes all lawbreakers. People need to know about that. As God commanded the Israelites to be tough on criminals, I mean, take a look what it says in the Bible. Boy, if you do this, God commanded this. If you do this, God commanded this. Those penalties, we might say, oh, those are so overwhelming. Those are so sharp. But what was God doing? God was trying to keep the people under control with those strict things. What should we do? We should stand with God, and we should support a system of strong, fair, and swift law enforcement. If we only had that in our nation, it would be great. Let's go on to another topic here. Climate. Think about Genesis chapter 8. The Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Who is saying that? That is the Almighty God. He's the one who created all things. He is the one who has sustained his creation to this very day. He has promised to maintain the seasons and to maintain the proper temperatures in the world until the very end of the world. That's a huge promise by the Almighty God. So let us trust in God's ongoing care, and I don't think we should be supporting this spending around the world of trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars trying to control the climate. We have a lot of godless people who are saying this world came into existence by random chance, there is no God, it's up to us to control the climate. As people who believe the Bible, as people who believe in God, let's understand God has done it, God is sustaining it, God has promised, and we can trust in Him, and we can live without fear. What about the topic of abortion? Here in Exodus chapter 21, notice what it says here. If men struggle with each other and accidentally strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there is no injury, he shall be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. But if there is any further injury, talking about injury to the child, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Try to picture this situation. So let's say you have two men and they're fighting, they're struggling with each other, and let's say that there maybe are people standing around them, and let's say one of the people standing around them is a woman who is pregnant. And what happens when these guys are struggling and they bump into the woman who is pregnant and she has the baby prematurely because that man bumped into her? This is all accidental. What is God saying? He's saying that if you do that, at least a penalty has to be paid. But if there is injury to the child, though, notice what it says again, life for life. If you accidentally bump into the woman and the child would lose its life, then the person who accidentally bumped into the woman, that person must then lose his life. That's what God commanded. We're talking here about accidental death. When it comes to abortion, what is abortion? Let's be honest. Abortion is premeditated murder, because we know that's a child inside, and someone is making a decision to say, yes, I agree, let's put to death the child inside of me. That is premeditated murder. Since God is for life, let us stand with God, let us support the topic of life, and let us do what we can to support the topic also of adoption. Yeah, if there are people who don't want to raise their children, let's support adoption so those children can go to good homes and can be raised in a proper way, and hopefully even coming to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. How about the topic of homosexuality? It's interesting how in Romans chapter 1, we see about halfway through the chapter that we have people who are denying that God is the creator, and then right in that second half of the chapter, it slides right into the topic of homosexuality. What has happened in our nation? If you go back to the 1960s, we are saying, oh, no more prayer in the schools, no more Bible in the schools, no more teaching of creation. So what has the public school been doing for decades? They've been teaching there is no God. And then what have we rolled into in more recent years? So much of an emphasis on homosexuality. It's laid out right there in the Bible, and yet we are living it out in a very sad way, denying God here and then rolling into homosexuality. Notice what it says here a little bit later in Romans chapter 1. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. So again, people are denying God. They are worshiping created things rather than the one who did the creating. So what does it say then? For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts. We can see that God is not in favor of that. So what's important for us to do? We should stand with God. But second, though, we should love homosexuals. We're not in favor of how they're living, but we love them, though, because those are people God created. Those are people for whom Christ died, just like Christ took your sins and my sins and paid the penalty. Whether you're a murderer, whether you have aborted your child, whether you are a homosexual, no matter what it is, Jesus took those sins. Jesus paid those eternal penalties. There is forgiveness for them. So we're not hating anyone. We're not against anyone. In fact, we love them in the best ways. If people go through life thinking it's okay, and then on the last day they find out it's not okay, no more opportunity to repent. If we can somehow help them understand the truth now and kindly call them to repent, now the Holy Spirit can open their eyes to the truth. Now the Holy Spirit can give them godly sorrow. Now the Holy Spirit can give them the gift of saving faith. Now the Holy Spirit can radically change their lives in Jesus Christ. That is what we want. So let's stand with God, let's love homosexuals, and let's call all manner of sinners to repentance. Think about what Jesus said right to his own disciples. He said to them, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He wasn't talking anything there about homosexuality. He's talking about sin in general. If you're going your own way and doing your own thing, if you are rejecting me, Jesus was saying, unless you repent, you will perish. That is true for all people, no matter what kinds of sins we are living in without repentance. One more topic here. That's the topic of transgender. What does that mean? Well, that's a person who is identifying with a gender that is different from a person's sex assigned at birth. So you're born as a male, and now you want to identify as a female. What does the Bible say on that topic? Here in Deuteronomy 22, it says, a woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. So think about this now. To be an abomination to God, that's a very strong word. So if simply wearing other clothing, now we have to understand what this is saying here. So if you think about wearing other clothing, we understand that within each culture, it's understood that men wear this kind of clothing, women wear this kind of clothing. Now there would have been a time at one point where we would have said, okay, all the men have to wear pants, all the women have to wear dresses. Well, that's not the case anymore, but we understand though that everyone is dressing in a way that fits their gender. That's what God wants us to do. But think about it though, if it's an abomination to God for a person to simply wear the clothing of the other gender, how much more of an abomination to God is it if the person wants to identify with the other gender? And then how much even more is it an abomination to God if the person says, I want to have surgery on my body to try to in some way make my body the other gender? God wants us to accept whatever gender we are. He wants us to get into the Bible and to know Him as our God. He wants us to have forgiveness through His Son, and that would be best for our nation. Let us stand with God, and let us oppose all gender-affirming care for all people who are under 18 years of age. There are so many young people now who have had things done to them. They requested them. The things were done. These things are irreversible. And now these young people have come to realize, oh, what have I done? And now they are stuck where they are for the rest of their lives. None of this should be happening. Let us not stand with such things. Let us stand in opposition to it. Let us stand with the Almighty God. Let me conclude like this today. So on the topic of truth, it's important. So when we think about politicians, do they all want our vote? By all means. What are politicians tempted to do? They're all tempted, every one of them. They're tempted to tell us whatever they think we want to hear. Why would they do that? Hey, that's how they get our vote, right? Here's what I'm recommending to all of you today, and even to myself. We understand the phrase, actions speak louder than words. So let's not pay attention practically to none of the words, but let's look at the actions. That's really getting to where the rubber meets the road. People can tell us anything they want, but let's look at the actions though. In order to do that, we have to do some homework. We have to do some studying. But let's look at the actions and put our weight on the actions and not on the words. I want to touch real quick on the topic of COVID-19. I want to say to you, do not be afraid. You might have heard recently where people are still, after all these years, people are still using the topic and they are greatly exaggerating the numbers of people dying from COVID-19. Why are they doing that? They are trying to induce fear among you and me. Well, I did a little bit of my own homework, and not that I really trust the CDC, but even the CDC, if you take a look, they're saying that in the last few months, the rate of death from COVID-19 is only 2 out of every 100,000 people in the United States. Now keep in mind, a lot of times they're saying someone died of COVID when they actually didn't die of COVID, so maybe it's more like 1 out of every 100,000. God is saying to us, trust in Jesus, know for certain that through Jesus, you will be welcomed into heaven when the time comes, and live with peace. Do not be afraid of COVID-19. And then on the topic of worry here, I'm saying don't be worried. Think about this passage about the Lord here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. O Lord, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand so that no one can stand against you. Because of God's power, because of God's position, because of God's love, what should we do? Let us trust in Him and let us rest in Him. Let us be at peace. Let us not worry. Finally here, as I come to the end, on the topic of voting, I would say let us be well-informed voters. Why? To honor our great God, to seek God's blessing on our nation, to proclaim God's truth to the world, and to bless our children, grandchildren, and all others until the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. For all of us, though, let's make sure that we do our homework. Let's make sure that we're figuring out as best we can where people stand. Let's take into consideration what the Bible says, and I'm not trying to be political here. What do I want? I want God's blessing upon our nation. I want God's blessing upon you and upon me and upon our children and our grandchildren and upon really everyone in the whole world. I think in order to have such things, it is always going to be best when we dig into the Word of God and we use the Word of God to decide who to cast our vote for. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have established our nation and that you have sustained it to this day. Dear Father, forgive us that since around the time of World War II, step by step by step, we have moved away from you and moved away from your holy word, and we have dishonored you in countless ways. Dear Father in heaven, we are all sinners. We have all been a part of these horrible things, and we pray that you would forgive us, and we pray that you would open the eyes and the hearts of those in our nation, that they would see it too, that we would have godly sorrow, that we would know the Bible is your word, that we would be sorry for our sins, that we would trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, and that our nation would again be a nation that honors you in so, so many ways. Help us, dear Father, show us your mercy, grant us your guidance. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.